dun 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 dun.
I gotta get you to stop doing intros.
Live from Kakariko Village. Throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Now here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Oh, well, welcome. This is the Retro Zoo Super Show, and I am one of your hosts, Kai.
And I'm Steven.
We are, as always, produced by Drum. Drum, how are you doing today?
Stop touching me.
Okay. I already told you, I'd stop touching you.
How do you like it?
How are you doing?
I'm a little sick, a little under the weather, but I've got some Benadryl in my blood, and I'm feeling optimistic. A little jittery.
This whole RTS series, I was really hoping to lean on you more, because this is your thing. We are doing this series for you, so that you can do all the work for me.
You should have known that was going to backfire horribly.
I probably should have, for sure. Wow.
Well, no, it's funny because I think we were just talking before the show that I pretty much played multiplayer when it came to. I was always wanting to get all the units, and yeah. I was always kind of leaning towards like let me play this in a competitive setting. Let me get all the units. Let me play against AI, or you know, if it had an online multiplayer aspect to it, let me get into that. Let me see what this game is really like, and yeah. And totally skip the campaigns. Whereas you are the exact opposite. And actually play campaigns.
Well, no, and I was not a multiplayer of pretty much anything. So, I mean, just keeping in mind that, like, when I was getting into PC gaming, I was coming off of, like, several years of JRPGing on the SNES. And so it was my habit to sit down, you know, sometimes with the radio on or some music or something going, or the TV on or something, and just, you know, kind of sink into a video game, by myself. And kind of that habit remains to this day. It's like, I mean, you know, from our like discussions of like leagues, League of Legends and stuff, that, multiplayer stresses me out, man.
Yeah. Well, it stresses me out too, and I feel like that's a difference in personality. It's you know, I like the stress. Except, you know, I have to say I used to like the stress, because actually I don't. I play very little competitive. You know, I don't try to play competitive anymore. I mean, part of the reason is because I get so angry. I like the stress, but it feeds off this dark side of my personality where I'm actually you know, I have to get angry enough to practice or to keep playing, to play another match after I lose. And now it's like, I've got my life is just, the dynamics of my life are different. So now when I get really angry after, you know, I just quit, I just rage quit these days and then like won't play again for like months. And so actually, I suck at all my games now.
You know, and this reminds me of just a couple of weeks ago when I installed StarCraft. You know, because of the series.
Yeah.
And so I started running stuff and you're like, oh yeah, let's log on. We're going to do multiplayer. And I'm like, I don't want to do the multiplayer. And you're like, yeah, we're going to do the multiplayer. We're going to whoop up on things. And I'm like, I don't even understand how to do the thing. And you're like, yeah, let's put it on extra fast. And I'm like, what do you mean extra fast? And you're like, everybody plays extra fast. If you don't, then you're a wimp. And
that's exactly what I said.
That's pretty much the actual conversation. Warcraft and actually the first game that I actually played like online, and it's still one of the few games that I have played online.
Warcraft.
It was no, the first one was Diablo. And the reason I got Diablo, and we'll go into this when we hit Diablo more, but the reason I got Diablo is because I was working this job and it was retail. We worked really late at night. And, when we got off, two of my friends were talking about, actually they were direct dialing each other, play Diablo together. And they were like, hey, do you play Diablo? I had no idea what the game was. And they're like, go get Diablo and we'll call you in an hour. And so I went to Walmart on the way home and picked up Diablo. And then we started playing online, and that was really the, besides MMORPGs, that's really the only thing that I played online, and that was just with them.
And you had probably an awesome time, right?
I did, yes. Yeah. My character kicked some butt in that game. I love that game, man. Anyways, we are actually talking about a different Blizzard game today, and one with as much impact, if not more. Than Diablo?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to count World of Warcraft 2.
Yeah.
Not World of Warcraft 2, but World of Warcraft also. There's not a WoW 2, right?
Well,
like rumors are now flying.
Warcraft 2. The other MMORPG.
it was announced on the Retro Zoo by two guys who are clearly not up to date on anything.
One of them's on the Benadryl.
Right.
There's just expansions for the World of Warcraft. But yeah, no, the Warcraft universe is old, and it starts in 1994 and it goes all the way up to this year. So the Warcraft universe itself, you know, encompasses different types of games, but mostly it's the RTS from Warcraft 2 are very similar. And then Warcraft 3 adds another, you know, there's another aspect to it, like the heroes. And Warcraft 3 really, and this is why the influence, aside from World of Warcraft, which comes out in 2004, Warcraft 3 comes out in 2002, and that basically spawns an entire genre. Because Warcraft 3 itself was like, yeah, it was a hit. People liked it. You know, I think it made Game of the Year for PC Gamer. I remember I used to get the magazine. But it's really famous for spawning games like Dota and just the MOBA in general. So the massive online battle arena or whatever, the MOBA, it comes from Warcraft. It's a Warcraft 3 mod. It's a custom map for Warcraft 3. So really you have an entire game genre comes out of Warcraft 3. So Warcraft is probably
right.
Aside from World of I would say World of Warcraft eclipses that in the US possibly, but I don't know. Yeah. The MOBA now, it's like, that's an entire genre. So I feel like whereas World of Warcraft kind of, you know, it ends, there's, you know, you got expansions in 2007, 2008, 2010, you know, pretty much everything after 2004 when World of Warcraft comes out, everything that comes out after that of Warcraft until Hearthstone in 2014, which actually pulls on Warcraft, you know, so it's still kind of Warcrafty. But yeah, everything is, it's pretty much, yeah, World of Warcraft and it's a different game. But yeah. So anyway, but we're talking about RTSs. So that kind of ends with Warcraft 3, Warcraft 1, 2, and then, which I guess we're kind of focusing on today because Warcraft 3 is a little.
Yeah, and when we're talking about like the development of the RTS, Warcraft is the atom bomb in this that just blows this stuff up, because like Dune 2 like put most things in place and for it to be ready to go, but it just needed that spark that was just going to set things off. And Warcraft came in and was just the perfect storm for all of this. It was exceptionally well designed. And then it was followed up immediately by Warcraft 2, which just amped things up even further. And we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it's like, it's amazing that like, you know, Warcraft.
Well, it's kind of like that if you're playing orcs.
Warcraft, Orcs and Humans, which was the first game, comes out, and it's just it's an amazing game. And like 13 months later, Warcraft 2 comes out. And when I played Warcraft 2, I could not go back to the first game because it was that much better.
Yeah.
And that kind of just it ultimately was a 1-2 punch by Blizzard that was just phenomenal, and it really put this genre on the map in a very big way.
Yeah, I mean, and I was just looking at timelines here because the other big RTS that I remember from this time period was Command & Conquer, and I know we'll talk about that later, but. So it comes out the year after. The original Command & Conquer is 1995. And so you have 1 year after, or I don't even know if it was a full year, but after Warcraft, Orcs and Humans, Warcraft 1, you had Command & Conquer. And then the year after the original Command & Conquer comes out, you've got Command & Conquer Red Alert, which was like, you know, also huge. And so you have these, like, this is the heyday. In my imagination, I mean, and really honestly, when I freak out about RTSs and why I'm excited to talk about this series, and I'm glad you have, you know, come down from your JRPG mountain and like come to the peasants down in the valley. This is what, when I was gaming by myself, you know, like I had an older brother, I had a, you know, I watched a lot of games over shoulders on a PC. I mean, we didn't have a console, so it was like you had to wait till somebody was done. But basically, most of the games before Warcraft, Command & Conquer, or I wasn't really playing. So this was like kind of when I, basically 95, 96, that's when I started playing computer games.
Yeah.
And so I spent a heck of a lot of time playing Warcraft 2. Actually, never played Warcraft 1. We got Warcraft 2, but from what you're saying, you know, I didn't miss anything. And I think most people, I was watching some a playthrough of Warcraft 1 earlier, and it looks very similar, but it's like, it's kind of like StarCraft and StarCraft 2, like, which is odd because that happens, you know, decades later. But you have a really great game, a great concept, and then they're like, well, we'll just make it even better. And that's a good idea. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, this is a good idea. You made a really great thing. People love it. Make it better. You know, don't try to make an expansion. Use a new engine. Do what you got to do. Because there's definitely some new engines going on or some new graphics that are happening. But they made a better game in Warcraft 2. And that's really where I spent hours and hours playing.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Warcraft 2 just, like, yeah, sunk time into that. As far as timeline goes, all right. So, Dune 2 is December of 92. Mm. Warcraft Orcs and Humans is November 94. Then Command and Conquer, September 95. Warcraft 2 is December 95.
Wow.
Command and Conquer Red Alert is November 96. So of these four games, these are incredibly influential games. The two Warcraft games and the first two Command and Conquer, Command and Conquer Red Alert, are all within essentially just over a 2-calendar-year period.
Yeah. And they're very different games. That's the great thing. They're very different RTSs, actually.
Yeah.
And so at least the Command and Conquer and the Warcraft, I don't know if we're going to give it a whole episode over to Command and Conquer, but the idea is like, yeah, so, but Warcraft is, I don't know, it's very unique in and of itself, but it was nice that there was diversity in this field. So pretty much since, we've talked about this before, we've mentioned it before, but you know, the RTS genre is, it's kind of in its, it seems like, well, this is the joke, is like, it's always been in its death throes. Everybody's always predicting like, oh, it's almost over. Like, there's not going to be any more RTSs left. And I think what it is it's been refined down to where an RTS at its prime is really a one versus one. It's like a chess game. Whereas, you know, the other kind of styles of games that came out of RTS is like Warcraft 3, you know, is a different type of game. A MOBA is a different, it's like a different game you're playing. You're not playing an RTS. You know, a traditional RTS is a one versus one. So you know, where we are now with StarCraft 2, it's like kind of like it's taken from all these predecessors and it's concentrated like the pure essence of what an RTS should be. And I think you don't need a bunch of different ones. Although I would like to see, you know, I would like to see different types. I mean, I would definitely play, you know, I know Command and Conquer is still releasing stuff kind of, and I don't know how successful. I've heard too many good things or bad things, you know. You know, no news isn't always good news in the game industry. It's actually bad news. But yeah, I mean, I it's interesting to think that, you know, at this point in time, there was at least two major players in the RTS world. And so, if somebody had to win at the end of the day, it was Blizzard, because, you know, we've seen a struggling Command and Conquer's really struggled, and, you know, it's kind of unheard of after probably Tiberian Sun in 1999, which I also played and loved. But so for Warcraft 2, it, you know, when you look at the timeline, okay, so you've got Warcraft 2, Tides of Darkness. It's 1995. And then you've got the expansion in the next year, 96. And then you've got 2 years of no Warcraft, new Warcraft stuff being released. 97, 98, nothing. And then in 99, you've got BattleNet Edition. Warcraft 2 BattleNet Edition. And that is, you know, that's after StarCraft was on BattleNet. And so, and I remember when the BattleNet Edition came out for Warcraft 2, because I got it. And you had a different, you know, you had a different avatar. And this is 99, you know, so it was all clunky. You know, BattleNet was, it was awesome. It worked great. It just looks clunky compared to what we have now. But
sure.
Yeah. But I remember like seeing people in the chat rooms, like when it first came out, and I was like, whoa, what is a Warcraft like, dude, like a knight doing in my chat room? You know, it's like, it was really cool.
Kind Get of. Out of here, medieval character.
Well, you knew, like, you're like, wait a second. You immediately saw it, because I don't think I knew. I wasn't getting, you know, a ton of news. I mean, I guess I got the monthly magazine, but I wasn't anticipating. I just remember like looking in a chat room and being like on BattleNet and being like, whoa, Warcraft's online. Warcraft's on BNet now.
Yeah,
I got to get it. And I did. And, you know, I played it a little bit, but it's one of those things that there had been people that were playing it offline the entire time and were really good. And so as soon as I, you know, change gears from StarCraft over to Warcraft. I just got my butt handed to me, and I'm like, all right, you know, I see what's going on. You guys have all been playing this entire time, and I haven't.
Right,
so
yeah.
I'm going to let you go on and just whip each other up. I'm going to go back to StarCraft and get whipped up and, there. But
yeah, at least and it's been like that ever since.
StarCraft.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. So, we're gonna I'm probably not gonna touch a lot on the plot of Warcraft in this one because hopefully in our Backbeat episode next week my plan is to actually watch the Warcraft movie. I'm not overly looking forward to it, but this is what I sacrificed for you.
I don't think I've seen it. We should watch.
I haven't.
We should.
But yeah, the movie is very, very what they describe as very loosely based on Warcraft 1. And it would have to be very loosely because, you know, your character is just like this nameless, faceless, you know, low-level commander at the start of the game, and you kind of work your way up to being in control of the entire world and all that good jazz. And so, you know, I think there's a couple of characters that are mentioned in the game, and so they mm-hmm. kind of expand their roles a little mm-hmm. bit for the movie. But it is somewhat based on orcs and humans. Like you mentioned, it's like so. This has a medieval theme to it. So this did not seem at all weird to me. Because I was the JRPG guy, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, in looking back at the history of RTSs, you know, we started off with Herzog's White, which is, you know, futuristic. Yeah. Dune kind of has this kind of, you know, rustic sci-fi feel to it where it's a lot like Star Wars. It's very lived in and not everybody's really high tech technologically, but it is still science fiction. Yeah. Moving forward, you know, Command and Conquer definitely isn't medieval. StarCraft definitely isn't medieval. and so this is not like a foregone conclusion like most of my games are that, yes, of course we have swords. What are you talking about, foolish person?
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't necessarily for me either. I mean, it was for Blizzard, but you know, we're populous, you know, the it was like a 90 in the early 90s, 91, I believe. And then also Age of Empire. Like, when did that come out? Age of Empire was totally swords. And I don't know if we've I kind of want to say Age of Empire. The first Age of Empire was
It was later.
That.
No. It was later. The first Age of Empire is 97.
Oh, OK. See, I'm a kid, so this is all blending in. But populous is 91.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Populous is,
I think,
actually Populous. We mentioned this before. Is you know, kind of one of the inspirations to the genre,
right? I see. Populous 2 is in 91, so Populous is 89.
89, dang, right? Yeah,
dang. Yeah. But that's like, yeah, mythology.
But yeah, but I mean, but the medieval setting is very, very natural.
It is.
You know,
is.
Because you have – especially because you have such clear distinction in separation of classes, you know. We have the peasant and the peasant. We need to go farm peasant, you know, type stuff. Go build something. Yeah. And then you have the knights and the various soldiers and archers and stuff like that. And so it lends itself to this. And then when you get more into the fantastic elements, you have magic and stuff. But that was not – that actually, the magic is used sparingly in Warcraft, which I really like. You know, I really like the kind of the strategic element of using my old fashioned, you know, melee soldiers and archers instead of blowing stuff up with fireballs.
Yeah.
You do get magic and you can use magic, but it is not. It is used pretty sparingly, so which I think is pretty darn cool.
Well, you know, the idea of a spellcaster unit is been a staple of Blizzard RTSs, and you know, you see that, I guess, originally. I mean, I don't know, like I said, I haven't played much of Warcraft 1, but in Warcraft 2, you had the spellcasting units. I forgot what they're called, but you had that, and that it stays. And so you have, in later releases, but it was a unique thing, and it wasn't like everybody was doing magic. It was like you had a unit that did magic, or you had a couple units that did magic. And so, which I think eventually evolves into the hero, at least.
Yes.
When you start getting into a MOBA style game, it's like, that's basically what when you're playing a MOBA, you're playing a spellcasting unit that's ultra powerful. And then you're relegating all your micromanagement to the, automatons is what I'm trying to say. Automatons that are just like mindlessly going to fight each other. In the different avenues or whatever, the channels on the maps. But yeah, the spellcaster unit is a really fascinating kind of a development in an RTS, because it's actually, I think, what creates an entire genre.
Yeah.
So that's and that comes from Blizzard.
Yeah. 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 So the basic story of this is all the story we care about, at least in the early days. Warcraft 1 is a little light on story. It does have story elements to it, but the basic idea is that you have this human kingdom, Azeroth, and there appears essentially a portal to another world where the orcs live, and so they start fighting. and trying to whoop up on each other. And so, the game is split up into several missions, and there's actually some really good variety in these missions about, what exactly you're trying to do. You start off as kind of a lowly officer in whatever team you pick at the time, and your, initial challenges are just like, hey, let's build some farms so we can feed each other. And you work your way up, but you go in for rescue missions. Every few missions, you have one where you're just sent in with a certain number of soldiers, and you do not have like supplies or anything to make more. You just got what you got.
Yeah.
And you go in and you have to complete the mission with the team you have. And so this grows obviously increasingly difficult as you get closer and closer to the heart of the orcish horde, or the human horde if you're playing the orc side. One thing I really like about this game is like in Dune 2, you can pick your side. But even though there's not really a mechanical difference between the sides, there is a very heavy aesthetic difference. First of all, the plots are different for the two sides, but they look and feel different.
Yeah.
Right? Every sprite is changed. It's not color swapping.
Right.
It is very, very distinct what side you're on, the way your units speak to you, even just the lines that somebody will say when you click on them are very, very different between the two sides. And I really like that. Even though mechanically they're pretty much the same, I think pretty much exactly the same.
No, there's a difference in Warcraft 2. Are we talking about Warcraft 1?
I'll start with Warcraft 1. What is the difference in 2?
So at least in 2, it's minor differences. So you'll have the knight, and then you'll have the orc or whatever. So the orc is a little stronger than the knight is.
Oh, cool.
But I think he might have less armor or something. I can't remember. And like the archer versus the troll axe thrower, it's like there's a little bit. One has better range. I think the archer has better range, but the troll axe thrower does more damage. So there are trade offs, and it's like it's the beginning of the whole balancing thing that Blizzard becomes like really gets really into, and ultimately is what makes, these games really cool, is they try to, they say, okay, well, we've upped his hit points by 3, and is that going to balance out the fact that the archer can start shooting at a greater distance, And so it's, it, they're trying to find balance between the units so that not necessarily if you like each unit has enough, you know, because I think the archers were better than the troll axe throwers. I mean, it was like it was better to have a bunch of archers versus a bunch of troll axe throwers because they were shooting. Nice. They got their shots off faster. But so yeah, at least in Warcraft 2, there was a mechanical difference, but it was like on that level, you know, it was kind of minor.
Right. Well, and I knew in Warcraft 2 there was a difference in the clerics, but I just pulled it up on Warcraft 1 on Orcs and Humans, and there are differences there too, even in Orcs and Humans, that the human clerics are more protective and healing, while the necrolite raises skeletons and can make things invulnerable, but that severely damages the unit when the spell dissipates, which is kind of interesting. So yeah, there's a difference there, this is pretty cool. So yeah, apparently even from the beginning there are minor differences, but those differences do grow and as time goes by, especially as we get into StarCraft, and that becomes, you know, how do you,
you kind of become the mainstay of the entire
right game. Yeah, it's like, you know, we have completely different armies here that do different things, and you know,
there's three of them instead of two
right, but so the but you know they work really hard at balancing them, which is very cool. And that also goes into the MOBAs a lot, because then you have individual heroes that are very, very different and do different things,
right,
but you're exactly. also trying to kind of balance them, which is seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, no, it is. But, you know, it's like the more I wish we could go talk to Blizzard right now. Like, you know, the more work you put into a game, the players recognize it. And they appreciate it. And so
when you try to listen to your past self.
Yeah. When you slap dash something, it doesn't work out, you know, or it does, but it doesn't. And it hurts you more than it'll ever benefit you. So yeah, the idea is, I think that was something that was really unique with these type of games, is that they would patch them. They would say, oh, well, we realize that this unit is too powerful. Let's nerf it. Or this unit is not strong enough. Let's pump it up.
Right.
And so it, you know, it created the whole idea of patching your game after it was released just to make it better, not to necessarily change it. You know, I think Blizzard was, you know, at least I think they were at the forefront of that. They were at least being very effective about it. And so, you know, you get these games that are just, they always can be worked on, because the great thing about it is, this is the fascinating thing, is that people find a way. It's like Jeff Goldblum says, you know, like nature finds a way, you know, in Jurassic Park.
Gamers find a way.
Gamers find a way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they realize, like, oh, this combination of units against this, you know, in this setting or in this time frame, it's the best. So let's do that. And so you see everybody, right. And the great thing about watching it online and seeing these kind of movements online, you'll see everybody start shifting over to that. And so now what I see more in strategy games online that are being patched regularly, I'm talking about StarCraft, but now what I see more of is they'll still be talking about the race that is powerful. Like right now, which race is kind of carrying the torch, so to speak, which is the race that's the most effective. And the interesting thing that'll happen is they'll nerf the race at the next patch. So they'll usually do at a BlizzCon, they'll do the tournament, and then after the tournament, they'll nerf. You know, they're constantly trying to find a perfect balance, but in the process, you know, generally one of the races is a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And so as they start to tweak it, but it's crazy, like the most minuscule tweak could change the entire game. And so anyway, so this is Warcraft is setting the whole stage for this, and I'm watching the playthrough right now, and totally forgot there was boats, like carrier boats and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
In Warcraft 2. Oh, it was so rad.
Yeah. Hey, it's Kai here. We recently finished our latest EP, Quest of the Dragon Warrior. It's an electronic tribute to Dragon Warrior and the amazing music that game gave us. We're really excited about how this music came out, and we want you to have it for free. If you go to technofunkboy.com/Dragon Warrior and sign up for our weekly newsletter, you'll get the songs to download and keep for free forever. That's technofunkboy.com/Dragon Warrior, or check the show notes for a link. You know, some of the things that Warcraft 2 adds, and there's an expanding of what kind of units you can use and what kind of units you can build, which of course we would expect in a sequel. And so you do have various kinds of ships and flying vessels and all sorts of different units and stuff. You know, that by itself is fine. Or whatever, you know, it's like I can play with less units and I can play with more units and I don't really care. The stuff that makes Warcraft 2 just head and shoulders above Warcraft 1 is simple stuff. Like, I mean, just, stuff like in Warcraft 1, you can pick up to 4 units. Four.
Wow.
I mean, 4.
Yeah. And not much you can do with 4.
And if I remember Dune 2 right, that's 3 more than Dune 2. I think if I'm remembering that right, somebody will correct me. But it's like, okay, so that's an improvement, but it's 4. This is supposed to be a war, not a skirmish. Yeah. You know, and so it, especially when you've like built up your army and you're ready to send them off, you're like, okay, you 4, go. Let me click 4 more. Go! And it got really irritating.
Well, could you not? You can't hotkey them? Well, probably not at that point.
I don't believe so. Not. You could. You can click them on the minimap. So you can highlight them, and then you can send them, you know, by you know, pointing the way on the minimap, which is great, which is actually fantastic. It's great. It's very slow going. And so that was really cool before you played Warcraft 2. And then it wasn't nearly as cool anymore because Warcraft 2, you could click a whole bunch more.
Is it 9?
No.
Or is it 12? Because I know it's 12 in StarCraft 1. Or maybe it's 16. I think it's 16 in StarCraft 2. 12 units in Warcraft 3. Okay. But why does it say anything? Nobody cares about Warcraft 2?
Apparently not.
It's too retro, bro.
I know.
Deeper on this one, because everybody's talking about. Let me put two. How many units can you select in Warcraft? Now I gotta know this. This is gonna drive.
I know. Crazy. Yeah. I was just gonna pass it by until you. Oh,
9.
9. Okay. Mm. So that's such. That's a huge improvement, right?
Yeah. And, huge.
You know, especially when it comes down to that. You know, that final push, you know, you need to get these people moving.
Yeah, I remember going back and selecting clumps. 9, 9, 9, you know. 9, 9.
Right. So one of the other things that really just got tedious in Warcraft 1 is that you had to have roads to all your houses, and the roads cost money.
Oh,
and so what you ended up doing was just like you started building SimCity in your little outpost there. And, building like roads and blocks and stuff. Well, you know, by the time you've got a big army and you've got a lot of peons that are running back and forth to the mines and cutting down trees and stuff, it's like everybody's blocking each other on the road and it's really irritating. And so Warcraft 2 figured that out and just did away with the roads. And it's just like, yeah, just build wherever you want to as long as you can defend it. And, and I noticed StarCraft is the same way. It's just, you know, if you can defend it, you just put your thing down wherever you want to.
But you know, that I was watching the playthrough and I saw the roads, and I hadn't played Warcraft 1, so I didn't really know about that. But you know the cool thing about that, and see, this is one of the things that gets sacrificed, and it's an entire other dimension. Like, what if you left roads in, and they just gave you an advantage? You know, like, oh, you speed you up when you're on the road. So like, you would place them strategically, you know, and but so you lose something when you get rid of that kind of concept. But also, it probably makes the game a heck of a lot easier to balance.
Yeah, it does,
because you got to factor that in. Well, and you know, one of the things I learned early in playing strategy games is that when I first started playing any kind of strategy game, you know, the tendency is you get nervous and you want to be defensive. We call it turtling up. You know, you turtle up, you build walls, you build whatever defensive structures you need. You spend all this time, like, protecting yourself. And then you basically have to play on your back foot the entire game, because your enemy, if they're smart, you know, what you realize you need to be doing is the age-old truth, you know, the best defense is a good offense. And so really, I think defensive, the reason there aren't walls in StarCraft, really, that except for man-made, you know, you can make them out of supply depots or whatever. But the reason you don't use that is because people generally play offensive.
Right.
And it's spending resources on a defensive structure is kind of wasteful.
Right. And that has always been the reason that I'm not good at RTSs. It's because my instinct is totally on that, you know, fortify your position, type thing, instead of let's be aggressive. And there were some maps in Warcraft 1 that I just played over and over again. And I remember this one that had it was a rather large lake, and right in the middle of the board of the map there was a bridge across it, and most of the attacks came from that bridge. And I would play this map over and over again because I loved it. I loved you know, kind of taking over all of the resources and then creating just this massive choke point there that just eventually, and I would just, you know, and because I knew where all the resources were and I could conquer them, that I'd force the computer to kind of just start throwing peons at me, and I'd just watch them die. And I would spend so much time on these maps that it was definitely not good playing. And that's also why I had trouble in the later levels, is because, you know, when the bad guy's got three towns going and you only have one, the longer you spend fortifying your defenses, they're growing three times as fast as you are.
Exactly. Well, that's a huge thing in RTSs, is that it's base economy. And so, you know, you see these matches now where people are, they're fighting each other, but like, if they're well matched and they're not going to take a big risk in knocking each other, one of the players out, both players will expand and fill up all the remaining resource, you know, points on the map. And then they'll poke each other until it's like they're out of resources. And then it's pretty exciting. Those are the real long games. But it's like that style of play is utilized, but they're constantly like waiting. It's like if they're not... they play it safe. You know, sometimes you have two players that play it safe, and then so that's when you get really long games. And dude, in your defense, I used to do the exact same thing. Like, I love to play, when I first started playing RTSs, I loved to play one computer when I got good enough to beat a computer, and I would check them. I'd make sure that they weren't going to destroy me. So I'd put whatever kind of pressure I needed to early to kind of bring them in line, and then I would go back to my base and build like this massive like industrial complex, and you know, crank out the most expensive units, and then I'd fly over my super, you know, fleet and obliterate them, you know. And I used to do that, but I think, you know, that does have a half-life of, you know, only a few months where you can do that over and over again, and you're like, okay, let's see what else this game can offer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, anything else we need to cover? I think, the general tone of the game that has a lot of humor interspersed. With some real battle strategies. Like, you know, it's like, you know, in between missions, you're getting your briefings, and they're like, you know, okay, the enemy's doing this, and then we've got to do this, and we've got to drive them back at this point. We've got to defend this point. It's really, really interesting. It's got some really cool, cool ideas going here. But that is interspersed with a very colorful environment. A very engaging environment, and just had some real humor when you're interacting with the creatures.
This is the first game, I think, where you could click on your units over and over and over again, and after a certain point, like, you reach some kind of trigger level where they start saying funny things.
Yeah.
And if you're clicking on like a neutral unit, they'll explode or something funny will happen. But I think this game, just to touch on the main key, okay, so this is an RTS that utilizes harvesting of two different types of resources, trees and for lumber, and gold for, you know, so you have like a two variable resource system, which is like StarCraft. You have supply, you know, food for your armies, so you can't have more armies than you actually have buildings to create, or you can, hypothetically, you can, if you're food supply buildings, you can't build more units unless you have supply buildings to provide food. So you can get supply blocked, which is what it's called. Like if you like somebody destroyed your supply buildings before, you know, you'd have to build more before you keep building units. And then also you have upgradable fortresses. So like their tech levels increased, like, so at your main fortresses for both races, you can upgrade them. I think there's two or three tiers. I can't remember. But as you upgrade your main fortresses, you unlock different upgrades and different units, different structures that you can build. So there's a tech tree that's very defined, and in Warcraft 2, that's and including upgrading your units, weapons and armor ability. And so, you know, it creates all these different variables, which you can kind of mix together, you know, and create different dynamics in your army. And I think that, you know, also Fog of War is interesting in this game, because you have a totally black Fog of War, but when you reveal it, the fog is it comes back, but the undermap is still revealed.
Right. Just the actual landscape you can see, but nothing actually going on there, which is, it's always kind of trippy when you re-enter an area that you haven't been in for a while, and like all the forests disappear because your enemy has cleared it out, and you're like, oh crap.
Oh,
okay.
No, now busy.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and yeah. So yeah, this is, these games are considered classics. And it's for good reason. These games, especially for the time, thinking of Warcraft 1, particularly Warcraft 1 for the time was just a masterpiece. It's been rightfully overshadowed by 2. I think 2 is the far superior game.
But it's on the shoulders of 1.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And so, playing Warcraft 1 would probably be interesting to those of you who are just either going for nostalgia or just want to see the path that this genre has taken. Both games are available on GOG and for very reasonably priced. If you're just looking for a good game, I think Warcraft 2 holds up very well. You'd probably could just skip Warcraft 1, and
I think for the other reason you were saying, I might get Warcraft 1 just because it doesn't look as bad as I imagined it would.
No, it's a very pretty game.
Like, this actually looks pretty legit, you know.
Yeah,
it looks like a solid game.
It's a very pretty game. It runs really, really well. There's just those little things that Warcraft 2 fixed that now drive me crazy with trying to go back to it, but it didn't bother me the first time I played. That was the thing. It's like, you know, it's like, I guess they didn't bother me that much. Having all of my peons like you know, trying to walk down the main street and having to wait on each other, that did bother me. But, you know, I didn't realize, you know, how simple the fix was until two. But no, it's a gorgeous game. It runs really well. It is very well thought out. It's very, the levels are a lot of fun. And so it's really good. I actually just pulled up the GOG version of it, and the Orcs and Humans, just like that kind of sense of that subtle sense of humor of the game just kind of runs through it. Like each section, the first section is called My Lord, and the second section is Stop Poking Me, which is awesome. But like the one part of it is like the features. One of the features is defend your village from the brutal attacks of human armies, and then they cross out human armies and put pale dogs. yeah, it's just
really tongue-in-cheek, real fun.
Oh yeah, like, it's great.
How games should be.
It's available as a bundle on GOG and also individually. And I think, this is some of the, by the way, we should mention that, you know, the GOG version, of Warcraft 2 is the Battle.net edition with the expansion Beyond the Dark Portal.
Oh, so you can get on Battle.net with it? That's interesting.
Let me double check that. Yeah.
I'm playing on Battle.net right now because I don't remember seeing that. I'm assuming that means that you can play it on Battle.net.
Right.
Can you still play Warcraft 2 on BNet? Yes, it is still possible.
Nice.
Blizzard has re-released Warcraft 2 Battle.net edition with support for Windows 10 in the GOG store. So there you go. Yep. You're right. Absolutely right. Awesome.
Oh, so that's great. So yeah, all right. So it makes me happy that Blizzard is supporting this game, you know.
I'm actually really glad you said that because I look at the, you know, and have my Blizzard HUD up. I never saw Warcraft 2, but I kind of wondered about it. But now I know.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
So yeah, that's great. So we, like I said, next week we're going to do the Warcraft movie. It's the plan. But we are going to get into, I think Command and Conquer's next, and kind of keep working our way through the early history, early glorious history of the RTS, and so that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's exciting, and for all those people out there who already are into RTSs and wanting to get in some more on the action. This weekend, this weekend is the Intel Extreme Masters, GSL Pro Tour in Katowice, Poland, for StarCraft 2. And it's pretty sweet. We got a good lineup of players there. We've got my man Neeb from America didn't make it into the round of 24, which is a bummer. I'm a big fan of him. I've seen him play live, like I always mention. but we got Cyril there, who is another fan favorite outside of Korea, and a new cat called Rainer, Italian kid who's like 17 years old and has already made like.
Isn't that 200... the character's name?
Yeah, he goes off by the character's name.
Wait, no one has picked that name?
He's got a clan name in front of it too. I don't know if it's just Rainer.
Oh, okay.
You know, no, it is just Rainer. No, he's, I don't know. Maybe he just calls himself that.
One of those moments that's like, has no one picked this name? Wow. Okay. Well, no, I guess you're Rainer now.
They're like, these people's names are like all sorts of rogue and like, it's their offline names probably because they mostly play their tournaments offline. So, they'll have a different name, when they're on BNet. But, yeah, this is it's going to be a really interesting tournament to watch. The first place is $150,000, and so there's a lot of money on the line for this. And the playoffs start, I guess, in two days and 7 hours and 13 minutes. So wow. Anyway, so, if anybody's any listener is like, hey, I want to get on, I want to watch some pro esports, you know, I'll be happy to. I'll be watching this. I'll be following it. I'm actually planning on going to the pro circuit in Dallas this year, and so some of these players will actually be there as well. So I'm pretty jazzed about this. And as we build up to talking about StarCraft, you know, these some of these characters, I'd like to do a whole episode on just the esports aspect of it, because it's been a fascinating journey. And it's a fascinating story, just that kind of the beginning of esports started with StarCraft. So, and it's still alive and well. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this year, the base prize pool was $250,000. But in addition, it's been increased by a further $150,000 from ESL Pro Tour prize money boost, totaling over $400,000 in 2020. So, I mean, and a lot of they raise the money based on the war chests and stuff. They sell skins for Blizzard to sell skins, and which I have a couple of for my units. But anyway, just if you want to check it out, it's on, you know, Twitch. Just this weekend, Google StarCraft 2. Just watch them. It's very well polished. It's like watching a sports show. So like if you're into sports, anybody that might be listening that's into sports. Not thinking of anybody in particular, but this is like as sporty as you're going to get I think it's one of the oldest, most defined esports. So you've got a lot of cool commentators. They're really, it's just very slick. The whole interface looks great, and it's a really enjoyable experience.
Nice. So,
Yeah, that's my little GSL plug.
All right. Well, very, very cool. So we will leave y'all with that. We do appreciate you tuning in. Please do keep in mind our Patreon. We've made a little bit of progress with our Patreon, but we are still our current goal is still to get to the point where we're in the black for the show, that we're no longer losing money. And so if you do find entertainment and value in this show, we would ask that you help support us at patreon.com/technofunkboy. If you are unable to support us financially, there are other ways to support us, such as sharing these episodes on social media with your friends, telling them all about how much fun these episodes are, especially when the co-host asks questions that the other host did not prepare for, and then we look like we did zero research whatsoever, like very simple things like how many units you can pick in Warcraft 2, which I should know off the top of my head.
If we were fully funded, we would have more time to spend doing our research. So
yeah, that's not going to happen, man. You can also rate and review us on iTunes or Apple, should I say Apple Podcast or your favorite podcast catcher. Probably best of all, please jump, check the link for our Discord channel and join us there. And we are we have some fun there, and we run the show itself from here, and also do some Star Wars role playing here and some other fun stuff. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, all of that good jazz. So that's a lot of homework.
Yeah.
So pick one of those things and do them.
Come to Discord and subscribe to Patreon before you come. Or both.
Wow.
Just come to Discord and ask us how to subscribe to Patreon. We're in Discord.
Very good. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll catch you next week.
See y'all later.
Retro Zoo Super Show is brought to you by the Techno Punk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Techno Punk Boy, on Facebook at the Techno Punk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technopunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and gameplay clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. Unless you have responsibilities that need to be done at this time, then you can game later.